Ideally, they would like to sink into dormancy, but are kept awake by the efforts of the elements that induce rage. And even if they for a moment leave them in peace and drowsiness, he is soon roused by the inner voice that awakes the terrible memories, to be active in his consciousness and is crying at him. The air is heavy and oppressive, at times burning hot, at times biting cold. Here and there one encounter small miserable huts, where people stay several together in cramped barracks, however they have shelter. Work blessing is denied to them, but in very primitive schools, one is announced to, in quotation marks, force-free slash voluntary teachings. Many people, and especially those that come directly from the earth, prefer not to visit those schools. They harden themselves and live an isolated life, in torment-like inaction. Hunger and thirst, as in the first described places, are for this population the constant scourge. But for helping on this, are given fruits and food, which are sent here from Earth's spheres. But the gluttonous are never satisfied. He can hallucinate to the most delicious dishes and the choicest wine, but when he eagerly is stretching out his hand for the dish or cup, all is lost. The story of Tantalus is a terrible truth. Another hallucination, no less painfully, is the hoarded, as he sits and counts his gold, which still runs away between his fingers. He counts and he hide. Money, pull his hair in despair over how everything disappears. Yes, which role the imagination plays in the unfortunate's afflictions, one can hardly imagine. There are, of course, in their location, always a basis of objective reality in the rugged terrain, where these wretches have their domicile. But the subjective perception, affected as it is of the remorse horror pictures, is of far greater importance. They seem to see the victims of the torments he gave them, the, in quotation marks, friends they cheated. They see them sneering against him, and though it is only fun images of their fright grand imagination, so stand these images with a four-step process reality. Those who come here from even more horrible districts, have in all generally easy to submit to the penances or purification processes required to move forward, and that after having passed the earth wanderings, ending up here, may stay long in inflexible defiance. Sooner or later, however, the hour comes, when the humble repentance has set in, and so being relieved and get moving to a nicer locality. Still other districts in the Hell Realm show up high mountains and vast deserts and occasional small lakes, but not a trace of vegetation. The ground is everywhere stony and hard. For those who waded into the desert, it is a relief to walk on hard stones, and a pleasure to splash their feet in a lake. Here you also have to work. They themselves have to build or construct their own primitive homes of timber, which are given from Second Earth Realm, Sphere. They learn wood carving and other simple handcrafts, and in the schools they get instructions in the rudiments of normal subjects. It is a strange but wise way of God, all entity, that those who end up in the Hell Realm and often are intellectually, highly developed individuals, keep this intelligence, as long as they are turning away from God in defiance, but when they have repented and begin the arduous penance way up through the higher realms and spheres, this intelligence are stripped from them. They become as large ignorant children. This is not so to understand, that their once acquired intelligence should for all time be deprived from them. But this is withheld or obscured, and they will gradually reacquire this, as they move forward. Full, completely, it will not return, until they have reached the level slash realm slash sphere, whence they went down to their last earthly life that he or she wasted. They are at times fully aware of this, and often impatiently clamoring to regain their lost cultural standpoint. It does not help, they must by themselves earn it back. This is also generally done much faster than for the uncultured man, who for the first time is walking this path of evolution, development. The memories awake and he or she learns quickly, but never faster than the moral development keeps pace with the intellectual. This is just as loving, as a wise arrangement, for it greatly facilitates the development of the astral plane. Would a highly developed intelligence have dragged through all the rough and primitive living conditions, The spirit on this cleaning road have to pass. It would only increase the suffering and make the work more difficult. Now it is to be noticed that nothing in the universe is so uniformly marked out, so there not are exceptions. Rather, one could say, that as not to individuals are identical to each other, so it is given nor to life stories, which run through exactly the same stages. It is difficult to set up a general scheme of human evolution, rather we are all exceptional. Thus do not all need to crawl this cleaning path, step by step. Some highly developed, strong spirits, who have fallen deeply, could also through an intense suffering and after severe tests, in great leaps regain the height they once had reached. If they fail in such a test, they naturally fall back, and then have to crawl back to the level that they were able to reach with leaps. Such cases are rare, however. However, it is not only in the astral world that such regrets walk is done. In the rule must also the fallen, through repeated earthly lives, atone for what he has done, broken life laws, made bad karma, and whitewash his character. Since we now cast a glance in the cleansing department of this world, justly called hell, I now turn to a depiction of the seven spheres that surrounds the earth. We start our survey where to the nearest fine matter land is located, the first sphere. Here we meet a barren and harsh nature. Over the polar regions, propagate vast expanses of ice, snow-covered mountains and frozen seas. In the temperate zone, the landscape is characterized of barren mountains, barren valleys and large heathlands. Any vegetation is not present, here and there grows a few stunted, leafless trees and creeping vines, which form almost impenetrable thickets. Only grasses occur more commonly. One or more pelvic strainers find its way between the rocks, and flows into a lake or a swamp. The whole landscape seems highly sterile and desolate. Closer to the equator increases the permanent twilight, caused by the overhead spheres. Here, the land is more flat and desolate. Big stone and sand deserts alternate with marshlands and swamps. The seasons, especially in the temperate zone, is switching between hot summers and harsh winters. One might think that this inhospitable nature would not be suitable for residence for human beings. And yet is this sphere harboring quite a numerous population, larger than any of those overhead, since a large proportion of those who die on Earth do not get higher than this sphere. Here are collected namely, first and foremost, the majority of so-called savages. They might be good-natured and inoffensive, but are raw and undeveloped. Here you meet Eskimos, Apaches, Hottentots, Negroes and Gaffs, each of which visit the districts, who in climatic terms is most suitable for their habits and lifestyles. These belong to the first sphere's better elements. But then come here a lot of people from the civilized peoples, not the cruel, rude criminals, but the moral minimum stocks of all nations, such as, rough and spiritually sleeping, having lived a purely material life. Those, ignorant, having given no thoughts that they are immortal beings. And finally, those of bad dark thoughts who are smutty in spiritual dirt, because they understood no better, because they have been unavailable for higher influences. Finally, are the first sphere recruited of those individuals who come from the hell realm, and must pass this realm on his, her journey up to their true home. As told in this book, if they behave well, they'll stay here very shortly. There are also those who just make a sort of walk through this realm, on the way to the next. The various nations unite here, as on earth, in different kingdoms, each with its capital and its ruler. He cannot be among the country's population. He is appointed of advices from higher spirits, among more prominent personalities in some higher sphere, usually the third. Such a task is a difficult test, and those who do it well, thereby acquiring the right to move to the next higher sphere. To lead such uncultured crowds, it is necessary that governance is despotic, dictatorial. But the ruler may be a good person, who does not usurp their power, but elected by an even greater leader, for whom he is accountable for the management, and not to abuse his authority and also make sure, that as servants not to do it. But on the other hand, he also has in his hands the power to make his will felt, done. The best method for upbringing people, for individuals at this low position, is a severe and persistent work. They are employed under the watchful supervision of leaders and work ethics with mining and stone cutting, and timber work, building construction, shipbuilding and manufacturing of household goods, to which the timber are imported from the second sphere, and also with factory work of many different kinds. In the towns are namely large factories, especially for the production of woolen fabrics and blankets. The workers live in barracks and get their food in large common kitchens. This is prepared of corn, turnips, bananas, etc., which are imported daily from the third and fourth spheres. Those who on earth belong to the rural population prefer to stay in small houses, which they themselves construct, extremely primitive and uncomfortable, but still own creations. Here, they live a similar life as on earth. They keep animals, of which they may not have any advantage, they dig and chop the hard earth, but get just nothing to grow, they occupy themselves with various handworks, and receive in exchange for to work, the food and the materials they need. It is a hard and joyless life they live, but they get, however, to work, and it is a great help in their situation. The first sphere is no nuisance locality in the same way as hell's, but it is a hard school, which the raw and undeveloped spirit undergoes a first grinding process in order to be released from his grossest terrors and delusions, and thus provide an opportunity to rise to the next higher sphere, or with better conditions to go down to a new life on earth. But not all will open up to the development opportunities offered, and no one is forced. Many go as hermits into the wilderness and there live a completely isolated life, brooding over their more or less gloomy memories. Others keep a wandering life, driven by concerns that never want to let go. Still others, who have been hard and callous to the sufferings of others and led a selfish life, they go to the polar regions. Here they meet in the nature that surrounds them the cold that their own hardness developed. Once again, as told in the 2nd part of this book, some build for themselves great ice palace, where they in lonely stillness spend time to commiserate over the world's baseness and admire their own greatness and excellence. Others to dig or erode caves in the ice or go into crevices in rock walls, where they are in different dullness are living a bleak existence. They have no interaction with each other. They see no other human beings than the missionaries, who from time to time come to try to soften their hard minds and get them to work. All these idle and apathetic hermits, who basically are selfish natures, stay usually very long in the first sphere, because they are the most inaccessible of higher influence. If they are vexatious, increasingly harden themselves, they are pulled down to hell realms, which to them is just a joy, while those in the furnace, easier get softened and sooner come to a deal with themselves. For the newly liberated from earthly life, it is not so easy to immediately find their way in the new world, where he was so unexpectedly transferred. Especially is this the case with those who died a violent death by some accident or natural upheavals, or who died in war or succumbed to their own doings. They are initially very confused and do not understand their situation. They usually think they are still living on earth, and are not seldom wild and unruly, when you want to remove them from their old surroundings. In particular, those having done suicide are deeply regrettable. They have often an excruciating feeling, which they again and again perform their murderous deed, and have thus again undergo the terrors of death. But at the same time, their memory of things else is at first very stupefaction, that they do not have any concept about where they find themselves, or who they are. Sometimes they resorted to by a dizziness, though embarrassing, however, seems deafening, but soon returns the consciousness, and with this, nameless sufferings, both physical and spiritual. To help all those unfortunates other in the lower realms, ambulances, hospitals and asylums, which is managed by loving doctors and mercy sisters from higher spheres, who give up the glorious life of its own sphere, for to these unpleasant surroundings give the tenderest solicitude to their suffering fellow men. The unfortunates are cared for such, as for so long, until they become calm and aware of their plight, as they brought to the place where they are by, through their last earthly life, prepared a place. In the first sphere are also given, in relation to current builder's developed state, a good education or teachings, which are given by teachers from a higher sphere. There are great schools, representing public schools, elementary, lowest classes, and in urban areas are also public libraries, each of which is the reward for the work, and is him, herself able to choose books, which become own property. For the industrious, who divides his time between work and study, there is obviously not much time to rest to look around elsewhere. In the rule, each one is tied to its place, and any convenient communications within the realm do not exist. But instead, there runs through this entire realm a sucking desire to go down to earth. There were in many ways better than here. The mentally poor ones, who are staying in this low sphere, too, are so earthbound, so coarse material, that their only desire is to visit the earth, mix with people, participate in their lower pleasures, enjoying of their debauchery, and excite themselves to new orgies, and leading them to real crimes. Because free choice is the divine fundamental principle, nobody is stopped from doing what is wanted. He or she has the right to try everything, but must bear the consequences and responsibility for their actions. Hence will the first sphere people widely avail himself of the right to walk down to earth, usually for both themselves and the people there, making no small harm. One can then ask, how can a loving providence allow that these low-standing spirits are allowed to visit earth and deceive people into follies and crimes without them even have a clue that they are influenced by invisible tempter? Are not people then without guilt? First we must remember that no one may be misled, which do not allow him, herself to be misled. Or in other words, which does not have, in its inner essence, though so concealed, there has a desire of evil in one form or another. The one, for example, which is completely elevated above drunkenness enticements, is also completely protected against the evil influences in this direction to reach him from an unseen world. They are bounced back from the armor of purity he or she has acquired in that respect. Those left, who could still be in for such a temptation, will not be total free of the evil inclination, till they have learned to resist the temptation, independent of under which circumstance it may approach, thus also if it comes from an invisible instigator. No sustainable development is gained through a hermetic suspension from all evil influences, as long as it inside the human beings is a germ of evil. He or she is not safe for a fall. The temptation can get over her like a thief in the night, when she is least prepared to make resistance. And, mind you, they are always responsible for their actions. The temptation may sneak up on her from any direction. In the conscience, we have a safe beacon, which cannot fail. It is then understandable how it can be to the best help that this dark side, this mental weed, may come forth so much that he or she gets a hold of it and can pull it up by the roots. And hence, it is also clear how these secret temptations from invisible beings are means of a providential hand to promote the good. Mephistopheles introduces himself to Faust as some of the force, whose lot is always to like the evil, but always do good. The second sphere. This sphere does not differ much from the first, however, the conditions are, in many respects, more favorable. Nature here too is harsh and barren, but there are, however, in several places the opportunity to cultivate the soil, though is only sparingly worth the effort. However, there are vast forests of spruce and pine, and in smaller amounts also of birch and oak and beech, lime and cedar. Fruit trees are not present. The rural population's chief occupation is logging and wood processing. Wood and processed wood products is exported in large quantities to both higher and lower spheres. However, any farm can one hardly speak of. Also is worked a lot with metals, smelting of the ores mined in the first sphere, and after a preparatory procedure from the imported metals such as raw materials exported from here to the higher spheres for further processing, But before such a transfer to a higher sphere happen, the metal, by heat, is released from the slag, which belongs to the lower realm, and are given a finer or lighter form, density, which corresponds to the density of the sphere to which it is moved. It is thus not only the astral man, which must be refined in order to rise higher, this also applies to natural creations. In the cities are, like in the first sphere, large factories, but the work is not as hard as there. You have more freedom and feel more satisfaction of the work. Anyone who has undergone the first sphere's hard school finds out with joy that when he comes here, he has gone a step forward. But all must work, and that is what they need most, and come here to realize. No one is forced, but when they realize the work is the blessing for them, they are also willing to work. Those who on earth were idlers and loafers, but plagued his subordinates with a rigorous work, here get themselves learning to work. They, who as in idle lagged a futile existence, become through this work, which they now cannot evade, elevated into energy and courage. Spare time is spent on teaching, reading and games. As entertainment and sports, is even practiced hunting, especially of Indians, whom you often see on horseback with a pack of dogs to hunt antelope, deer and deer. Well, notice that they could not kill or even hurt anything there. The hunt is a game that amuses as both the hunted as the hunters and dogs. The talks of the Indians' happy hunting grounds have here its real counterpart. Government is also here despotic, dictatorial. The sphere's own residents are non-voting, but the various nations' rulers are chosen, as in the first sphere, of advice from a higher sphere and equipped with power and authority. Only important matters are transferred to the council. Nations do not fight in wars, peacefully and quietly they are working on the completion of the program, which has been presented to them and, as always, is suitable for their abilities and capabilities. In the first sphere, there is hardly any religious cult. The crude and uncultured or spiritually disinterested individuals living there have no need of religious association, but in the second sphere, there is a keen church if not always religious interest. The various believers join together in different denominations, Catholic, Protestant, Reformed, Baptists, Methodists, etc., who strictly keep to their own orthodox doctrines and reject all others. They lie in constant polemicists with each other and argue on their dogmas. Here come namely those, who on earth has been religiously fanatical and intolerant. And here they thunder still in their condemnation of all that is not consistent with their own sharply formulated schools. The Catholics have a certain advantage, they go with banners and crucifix and procession through the streets to make proselytes. They have their pope, sometimes having two who mutually communicate. Monasteries are also found, but it is generally poorly with holiness within their walls. At the low cultural position, whereupon the sphere's people are, they have not the ability to build great Gothic-like cathedrals. They have to settle for modest parish of wood, which they adorn with sordid Madonna pictures, crucifixes, flags and paper flowers. In the Protestant cities, unite the different sects in different neighborhoods and fight for their beliefs, vicarious righteousness, christenings and adult baptisms. Being a teacher for these fanatics is something of the most desolate work the spheres have to offer, for none are as blind as those who will not see. But as soon as someone is ready to drop their locked intolerance, he is also in this respect through with this, the religious intolerance's sphere, and must move to a higher level. On the astral plane govern a purely, on ethical grounds, footed ranking scale, which do not have counterparts on earth. Not only are the specific spheres as many in steps in this scale, so that one may not enter a sphere, which is higher than the one, by to the degree of their development, belongs. But also within each sphere are divisions or classes, living side by side with each other, but of different benefits and life conditions, just as a city on earth has its poor neighborhoods, their factory districts and their wealthier neighborhoods. But while on the earth, money alone is what determines where to live and how to live, it is in the astral realms, the ethical development, which in this respect is controlling or setting. Each one appreciates the justice in this, and all abide this. Such things as the pause, being envy and having class hatred towards the better situated, do not exist here. Each one knows that through obedience, diligence and kindness makes them self-eligible to enter the better terms, as a higher class or a higher realm has to offer, and such promotion is gained immediately, as soon as deserved. The leaders, who must therefore be highly developed, watch with tenderness and love of their children and ensure that justice befalls all. If someone requests to move higher, before he thereto is called, this will be granted at times, but is a test. If he fails there, he may go back again, possibly as to a lower, whence he came. Third sphere. Here nature adopts a friendlier touch. Large fertile plains alternate with beautiful forest parks and blue mountains. Rivers and lakes give the landscape a vibrant look. The climate is pleasant, the air fresh and clean. Rural population lives in small nice cabins, usually with a small garden plot around. Here you can thus see a beginning to own home with genuine coziness, which is such an important factor for the development of individuals. The houses, as well as furniture and household items, bear the stamp of a nascent art. They are not as bulky as in the first and second sphere. Cities occur quite numerous, but they are small and inconspicuous with wide, straight streets. There lives the ruling people, and there are schools and libraries, and even concert halls and theatres, although of rather primitive types. This sphere can be described as the astral world granary. Most of its inhabitants are farmers. Here are grown almost all of the grains, which occurs on earth, as well as several types of root vegetables, all of which are mainly exported to the lower realms. Agricultural work is carried out mainly by steam engines, because they believe that the horse is for good to carry such a heavy work. Also are grown vegetables and some simple fruits. A strange species is the so-called cup fruit, which has the shape of a pot with a lid. When the fruit is ripe, the lid opens and the cup contains a tasty liquid, similar to milk. Another fruit like pomegranates, but taste like boiled eggs, a good substitute, as cows there is not milked and chickens not lay eggs. The population in this realm are recruited mostly from the better part of Earth's rural population, which in their homes, on physical Earth, having been farmers, they're virtuous, good-natured and friendly people rather do not stand at very high cultural level. To begin with, while those belonging to the lowest class, they're often burdened by a certain drowsiness and long, as on the earth, go his sleepy time between the cottage and stables, but when they wake up, are moved to a higher class. There they become more living, lively and get more intellectual interests. They begin to understand that they have a spirit, which requires nutrients for its growth. As the earth air is easy grown, and very fertile, the work is not heavy, and much time will therefore also be for growing of dawning spiritual faculties. Schoolwork, who is cared of from teachers from some higher sphere, is not neglected, and yet there is always enough time for recreation. You often, in the evenings, see the farmers with their wives, dressed in their national costumes, get into the nearest town to hear a lecture or a concert or a visit to the theater. Good actors are considered, in the astral realms, of a very important upbringing method and therefore exists theaters as early as the third sphere. It is a traveling companion, as this gives simpler folks play, always of good tendency and free from trivial and obscene scenes. In this realm, inhabitants possess a limited right to vote. They choose from themselves the lower rulers. The higher regents are selected, as in the first and second of the realms of the council in a higher sphere. They exercise their power of patriarchal authority. It may sound strange that the astral world's inhabitants, spirits, as you call them, have the same needs, live the same life, and have the same pursuits on earth. They break the rock and fell forests, timbering the housing and building ships. Plough, sow and reap, in other words, that they may keep toiling to get themselves a home and food just as the earth. Can such be possible? you inquire. Do spirits need food, clothing, housing and homes, just like when they went in the flesh and blood on their physical earth? What is the difference?